Well, for all except our two, three guests today, you know that when things happen out there in the world, I feel free to throw the sermon title away and do what's really going on in the news. So I hope you're all ready to talk about the most important story in our world, which are the Kardashians. You thought I was going to say what?
Justin Bieber.
Justin, oh, yeah, well, so Michael Jackson, science, the Dodger ownership. But you know something? It fits in with my topic. A year from today, or Tuesday, depending on you how you count it, we're going to be having a presidential election. This is the great American reality show. Really, look at how this proceeds. It's a televised event. Most of the spontaneity is well rehearsed. It is a semi-scripted show where it only becomes interesting when they go off of script. But unlike most other reality TV, this is actually important. As a columnist for a couple of papers, I really look forward to this season. I love it. I mean, covering reality TV is really fun. All of the hopes, the promises, the distortions, the spins. This has got more spins than the ice competition in the Olympics. The lies, the false hopes, the promises that are based on absolutely nothing. It is just so interesting to watch people with straight faces say things that they absolutely do not believe and make promises that not only they don't believe in, but they know that they're not going to keep, and that even if it were of good faith, that they couldn't keep. And incidentally, in case you're worried, I'm not being partisan here. This is a unreal reality show that goes on both sides. And as somebody that writes about it, that tries to understand it, that finds some humor in it, this is great. It was my childhood dream come true to be able to cover politics. However, as a citizen and as a human being, I can get really tired of the spin, really tired of the lies. And I can fall into the kind of cynicism that borders on despair and ask that question that if we were having a talk back today, which we're not, Ed would ask, and that is, do these elections actually make any difference, and why in the world should we care? Well, I want to answer that. Elections make a difference, and we should care. Our votes make a difference. Our voices make a difference. They don't make an instant difference, but they do make a cumulative difference. Most change advances step by step. The world today that I live in politically and socially is so much different from what it was when I was young. And in most ways, politically, so much better. There are certainly things that I don't like. I don't like the role that money plays in our politics, how it distorts the process. But really, 40 years ago, did I think that I would ever be able to perform a, briefly in this state, legal gay marriage? I performed marriages, same-sex unions, but they weren't legal 40 years ago. I didn't think that the law would advance that much. Did I think that we would elect a true African-American president 40 years ago when I was marching and picketing for civil rights? It was a dream, but I didn't think it was a dream that would be realized within my lifetime. It wasn't realized instantly. It was long and cumulative. But the advances that we have made, because people spoke, people sat down, people protested, people voted, are phenomenal. We live in many ways in a much more just country than we did We have other problems of income and distribution, and we do not live in paradise. But so much has been accomplished through both political parties and through the exercise of the franchise, which is precious. Despair and depression are tempting, but they're not good options. When we ask, does our vote matter? The answer is not that it does, but that it can. Does my individual vote matter? It is like grains of sand that piles up. The voices of people pile up and people change. And the government eventually will reflect those changes. That is, for me, an article of faith, but it's also an article of observation. The world does bend to our will, right, left, and center. No one of any political persuasion should really despair and sit it out, because there are accomplishments and dreams on both sides of the political spectrum that were considered to be foolish 40 years ago. Despair is an option, but it's a bad option. And what despair does, sitting out an election, not being involved, what that does is it says, okay, I'll sit it out, and somebody else, who I may not think is as smart as I am, as qualified as I am, as informed as I am, is going to make the decisions that will write the future. Why in the world would I or you or anyone anywhere on the political spectrum do that? Who is more qualified than each of us to try to make our values concretize within the framework of law? This goes to opening words. Is Garrett still here somewhere? There he is. This goes to opening words and the impossible dream. Our efforts do not assure us of success. Not everything that I marched for or against, picketed for or against, happened quickly or happened the way I wanted it to happen. But if I had not dreamed, if I had not striven, if you had not dreamed and striven and worked and engaged and marched and picketed and voted, what would our country look like today? There are no guarantees in a political process of success. But there is the certainty of lack of success if you decide to sit it out. I look at what we're doing, and I, of course, have problems. I accept what the thoughtful cynics say, and thoughtful cynic is not at all a contradiction, who look at our political process and say, look, we only have the illusion of choice. We've got two corporate parties. We've got two parties that are the unholy, H-O-L-Y, holy, owned subsidiaries of big business, of big pharma, of big agra, of big defense, and that their money, which is now considered to be speech by the Supreme Court, drowns out our voices. Well, yes, the money does cover up our voices, but our voices do get heard. Our voices do count, and that's important to know and to keep close to our hearts for those times when we want to turn away in disgust from the lies and the distortions and the role that money plays in our process. The commitment to vote, the knowledge that we do have elections and that we have a responsibility to make our voices, meaning our values, heard, is more than simply a commitment to vote. I'm sure most of you will either early vote or absentee vote or show up at the polls, which I like to do because voting is our national communion. It's when we all show up to be heard in one way or another. But voting is only part. It's only, in a sense, the beginning, even though it comes at the end of the process. It's really only the beginning, that commitment to vote. The commitment to be involved is more fundamental. The commitment to learn, to study, to try to match our values with the and our ideals with the people and the issues that are out there in the world. That's a fundamental commitment to the larger process of being involved in our civic duty. Elections have consequences. Local elections have consequences. It makes a difference who's on the city council in Fullerton. Makes a difference who's on the school board. It makes a difference to the local zoning and what gets built and what doesn't get built. It makes a difference in our state, who's elevated to the bench, who's elevated to the Supreme Court of the state, how environmental laws are passed or defeated, enforced or ignored. All of those things make a huge difference. And when we go to the national stage, we have all of those issues plus war and peace. It's important stuff. Now, I understand disappointment. I understand the disappointment of my generation, many of us voted against Goldwater and for LBJ, the peace candidate, and were disappointed. I understand the disappointment of the pro-life conservatives who voted for Ronald Reagan and got more pro-choice legislation than they ever dreamed of. I understand the despair of the budget hawks who voted for W and got deficits. I understand the disappointment bordering on anger of, again, people like me who 3 years ago with bright-eyed, hopeful anticipation watched the election results and thought that we were voting for peace in Iraq and peace in Afghanistan and maybe even peace at home and at least civil discourse between the various elements. Everybody's got a right to be disappointed. But I don't think anybody has a right to despair, to giving it up, to saying, no, I will not play, to walking away from this process with all of its flaws. There are not perfect democracies in the world. There are not perfect candidates in the world. We do not choose amongst saints. Thank God, because saints are really bad at politics. Saints tend to kind of stick with a vision. The two important arts of politics are politics is the art of the possible, and it is the art of compromise. And saints don't do that real well. So between our ideals for which we strive and the possibilities for which we compromise in a political system, we know that we are not going to have perfection. We know that the ideal world will continue to recede before our dreams. And I am grateful that our dreams expand, that we can continue to be inspired to take another step in the process. I've said often, and because it's important to me, I'll say it again. For me, the most important commitment is to the process. It isn't the side that you take. I am not, well, we don't have levers out here where you just pull a party line, but I'm not a party line voter. I am way to the left on some issues. I am moderately to the right on some issues. I have voted for Republicans. I have voted for Democrats. I have voted for unaffiliated. I try to make the best fit with my examined values. And I know that the best fit is not a perfect fit. And so we make accommodations with the possible. We take our values and try to make them into policies and laws. If we are wise, we work with others and understand that it is the commitment to the process that joins us. In this room, we're not all going to vote for or against the same candidates. My favorite story from, and it was a repetitive story, from the 60s was when my friend, Father Hans, Franciscan Friar, and I used to ride together into San Francisco for pro-choice, anti-choice demonstrations or anti-war demonstrations. Sometimes we marched with each other, sometimes we marched against each other. But when we marched against each other, he was never my enemy. He was a thoughtful adversary. We have in our country, aside from the problem that money plays, we have in our country too much of a sense of the enemy as opposed to the respect of a thoughtful adversary. We don't need to judge each other left and right by the most extreme or popular or confrontational spokespeople on radio or television. We get to define our own positions issue by issue. The political process begins with a commitment to have our voices heard at the end of the process with a vote. The first action item beyond that commitment is to learn, is to study, have parlor meetings, contribute money, and thoughtfully examine our values against the policies, and then try to make a difference. JFK said many years ago, before another November took him from us, that liberty is something that you don't have forever. It needs to be renewed in every generation. There are no final victories in politics, no final peace and accommodation, modus vivendi, or defeat. There is the ongoing commitment to follow our own lights, to understand the Enlightenment is precious and worth fighting for, to understand that the lights of reason can be extinguished, and to work to tend those flames and to fan those flames, and with our thoughtful passion, marked with some compassion, guard those flames of liberty and see that they are there to inspire and illuminate another generation. A year from now, big decisions that have real consequences will be made. Do not let them be made by others. Be a part of what happens a year from today in good faith, wherever you place yourself by examination, not simply tradition, on the great spectrum of American politics, that we might all work for the vision of a more goodly nation.